McCleskey v. DLF Construction. Mr. Hawk.
May it please the Court, I'm Michael Hawk, representing the defendant appellant, DLF Construction. Good morning, Your Honors. This appeal is from the District Court's denial of DLF's motion for summary judgment and the grant of the Cement Mason's motion for summary judgment. We're requesting that this Court reverse the District Court's grant in favor of the Cement Mason's and enter judgment in favor of DLF Construction. Your Honors, we're here before the Court on a matter of contract interpretation. There are essentially three documents here which the Court has to interpret, and the issue before the Court is whether or not DLF Construction is required to pay into the Cement Masons Health and Welfare Fund and their pension fund for bargaining unit work or for any and all work performed by union members which are in DLF's employ. The three contracts or the three documents which collectively constitute the contract that the Court has to interpret are first the Memorandum of Joint Working Agreement entered into by the parties, and that was the actual one-page document found at page 15 of the appendix, which the parties both saw.
Well, does that precede or follow the latest collective bargaining agreement, which was, I think,
that would precede the latest collective bargaining agreement, Your Honor.
Does it precede or follow it? It precedes it.
It follows the
it's
first one and precedes the correct.
But it's before the 2009.
Correct, Your Honor.
Yeah, but the 2009 is explicit, right? Per hour for each hour worked by employees covered by the agreement.
Your Honor, the 2009 agreement is identical.
That doesn't matter. The point is, 3 years after this working agreement on which you rely, they enter into this collective bargaining agreement, which seems to be explicit, per hour for each hour worked. It doesn't say anything about bargaining unit hours worked, as the working agreement does.
Judge, I think if you look at Memorandum of Joint Working Agreement provides in paragraph 2.
I understand. Sort of, that's the one that says bargaining unit work. But 3 years later, they sign a contract which doesn't have that in it.
The contract that
why
they...
Why isn't it in the 2000... Why isn't it in the collective bargaining agreement?
They didn't require them to sign a new Memorandum of Working Agreement, Your Honor.
Wait, I didn't hear you. Why isn't the provision about bargaining unit work in the 2009 collective bargaining agreement?
I think, practically speaking, Your Honor, they just updated the old collective bargaining agreement because in all respects it's identical. So they didn't
right,
change.
Right, because no union would actually agree to the terms that you're describing, right? Where
well,
the
Your
employer
Honor,
would have to keep track of specific tasks as to what's covered and what's not?
I think that the employer did in this instance, and I think that
the
in other cases the courts found that
but
that
the union
happened.
Wouldn't trust the employer, right?
Well, and judge
how
to
the employer monitor the employer. How would the union monitor the employer's saying, oh, this fellow, he was only spending an hour a day on masonry work. The rest of the time we had him carrying 2x4s.
Right, and I understand that concern, Your Honor. My suggestion, though, would be rather than rewriting the contract for the parties, I would say enforce the contract as it's written. If they don't want to do that, if they don't want to have that obligation and have to audit those
the
records.
The contract is the collective bargaining agreement. That's the most recent contract.
Well, I think
the
you have to look at them.
Nine.
Our position is, Judge, that you would have to look at them collectively, that they together constitute the agreement.
No, you look at the later one. Supersedes the earlier one.
Well, let me ask you, Mr. Hawk. This is all about Mr. Mata, right? And the work
right,
that
Your
he
Honor.
Did over a period of time when your client was short on work, right?
Correct.
Okay.
When he was short on bargaining unit work.
Let's not put the conclusion in there of bargaining unit work. But,
sure.
But short on work, you kept him on. What wage rate was he paid for the what you contend was non-bargaining unit work?
I don't know what the exact wage rate was.
Was it anything other than the agreed rate under the collective bargaining agreement?
I think that the I don't know, Your Honor.
It couldn't be, could it? I mean, that would be a breach of the agreement to pay him less than the agreed wage rate, right?
Right, and I think...
So why doesn't the same reasoning apply to the benefits?
Well, actually, I misspoke there. I don't think that it does. I think that they could have paid him a different rate. And the reason that I say that is because, Your Honor, with respect to the joint working agreement...
the collective bargaining agreement.
That would be an astonishing provision in a collective bargaining agreement.
Well, and that's why the key to our argument here, and I guess the linchpin to it is... In paragraph 2 of the joint working agreement, and I think that if that's what they had wanted to do was to incorporate
the page in front of the provision about benefits is in Article 5, and the Section 1 lists all these different rates for journeymen. Now, are you suggesting that these rates apply just to bargaining unit work?
Yes, Your Honor. And the reason why I say that is that in paragraph 2 of that working agreement...
You're back to the working agreement. How about interpreting the collective bargaining agreement?
I think that the collective bargaining agreement, standing by itself, does support their position.
Right.
I think that it does, but we did not,
but
as an employer...
But it's superseded. It's 3 years later.
Doing bargaining unit work as described in the agreement, and the agreement, the collective bargaining agreement, applies to all hours, right?
Well, Your Honor, if I might, they say with respect to all wages, hours of work, fringe benefits, and all other terms and conditions of the aforesaid cement masons, plasters, and shop hand employees, doing bargaining unit work as agreed, as described in the agreement. So they haven't incorporated the collective bargaining agreements in whole. They've only
incorporated
that. What
is the description of bargaining unit work in the collective bargaining agreement?
Your Honor, our position is that would be included in, if the court looks at our appendix, it would be in Article 3, Section 2A. It's the only section of the entire collective bargaining agreement that addresses any type of work.
That's the jurisdictional dispute.
Correct.
But we've got an agreement to pay stated rate and the benefits for each hour worked by employees covered by this agreement. And Mr. Mata clearly was an employee covered by this agreement, right?
Correct.
Okay.
But the distinction that I want to make, Your Honor, is that we were just saying that the collective bargaining agreement is
only... But you see, when you're looking at Article 3, for purposes of jurisdictional dispute, of course, they have to describe Mason work, obviously. Because if he starts doing work that's another union has bargained for, then it's a jurisdictional infringement, right?
Sorry.
No.
Suppose Mr. Mata had screwed up in a big way while he was doing this carpentry work that you say wasn't covered. Could he be fired for that? Presumably, yes.
I think so, yes.
Would he have any grievance rights under the collective bargaining agreement?
No, I don't think he would.
Really?
If he's doing non-bargaining unit work and was fired from
if you want to get rid of somebody, the trick is assign them to some non-covered work and fire them, and they have no rights under the collective bargaining agreement as long as the employer says they were doing non-covered work at the time. Has anybody ever agreed to that? Or any court ever taken that approach?
I don't know that they have, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't think of that hypothetical situation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hawk. Mr. McDowell?
May it please the Court, my name is Stephen McDowell, and I'm representing the benefit funds and the trustees in this matter. It's our position that the district court's decision is really a simple and straightforward application of the terms of the collective bargaining agreement and should be affirmed. Basically, Articles 5, Sections 2 and 3 of the agreement provide that the employer shall pay contributions for each hour worked by employees covered by the agreement. And as the district court properly observed, the collective bargaining agreements don't state that contributions shall be paid only for cement-related work, but instead cover all work performed by bargaining unit members. And basically, this ruling is in line with this court's decisions in such cases as Gerber Truck and its progeny that hold that plans are entitled to rely on the plain terms of written contractual documents. There was a bit of a question, I think, with respect to the time periods of the involved agreements. The memorandum of agreement, I believe, was signed in September of 2006, and it incorporated fully the current collective bargaining agreement that was in effect from 2006 through 2009 that, as indicated by counsel, was then renewed in 2009. Both agreements have the same terms in Article 5, Sections 2 and 3 that provide that the employer shall pay contributions for each hour worked by employees covered by the agreement. With respect to the memorandum of agreement, which is argued to limit the terms of the collective bargaining agreement, Section 2 specifically incorporates the collective bargaining agreement as written as if restated fully therein. It was the intent of the parties in the memorandum of agreement to incorporate fully the terms of the collective bargaining agreement. Had there been a limitation, it would have been explicitly stated. Now, the language upon which the employer primarily relies says that the employer is bound for all employees doing bargaining unit work. What this does is it establishes the group of people who are covered by the agreement. If you perform any type of bargaining unit work, you're covered by the agreement, and then the obligations that are found in Article 5, Section 2 and 3 apply to you, because you are then an employee covered by the agreement for whom contributions are required for all hours worked.
Doesn't that language just, in essence, prevent an employer from saying, well, we're going to bring in some non-union masons to do some work here?
What the language provides, basically, is that if you've done any form of bargaining unit work, then you are obligated, contributions are obligated to be paid on your behalf because you're covered by the agreement for any hour you work. And that's in essence the argument that we presented to the district court and that the district court adopted, and we would have urged that the district court's grant of summary judgment be affirmed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. McDowell. Your time has expired, Mr. Hall. We'll move on to our last case, United States v.